New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to give every inmate leaving city jails a temporary job, a jails-to-jobs initiative scheduled to be in place by the end of 2017, a $10 million program that's part of a broader effort to reduce recidivism and cut back on the huge inmate population so the city can build smaller jails and replace the troubled Rikers Island. Inmates must have served a year or less. The jobs are for 8 weeks, hourly wages paid by taxpayers, the city, not employers. The hope is to get more employers on board and build a resume for ex-cons. Let's start with a supporter. Stanley Richards is executive vice president of the Fortune Society, a nonprofit that trains former inmates on how to land and keep jobs. He's also acting vice chair of the New York City Board of Correction, was once incarcerated. So Stanley, you partner with the city now getting inmates jobs with nonprofit money. You hope to be part of the new program, the Jails to Jobs Initiative. Make the case for it.
So here's what we know, right? We spend $2.4 billion each year, New York City taxpayers, to create the machine called Rikers Island. What the mayor's proposing to do is to say, wait a minute, let's do smart investments. We know what doesn't work. We know mass incarceration doesn't work. We know isolation doesn't work. We know being punishing people for their entire life doesn't work. Let's try investing in people. And what we know at the Fortune Society is you invest in people, people build back, they build into their communities are safer. And we know it works. So the mayor's proposing a pretty bold plan that is consistent with the Lippman report that we came out with that says we need to close Rikers and reduce our footprint with regard to incarceration. And the Jails to Job program was one program that'll do that.
The mayor is saying that $10 million a year is better than, as you said, the billions or $200,000 a year per prisoner for the cost of housing. But you know the arguments that there are people who haven't committed crimes who deserve jobs and that people who have been jailed should not be rewarded for that.
And this isn't about rewarding people for being incarcerated. This is about being smart, building healthier and safer communities, investing in how people come home. If someone who is looking for a job, who doesn't have an employment and needs employment, they could walk into any Workforce One center right now in New York City and get access to jobs and don't deal with the barriers people with criminal records deal with.
Look, you, as you mentioned, you were incarcerated. What were the issues for you coming out of jail? Would a job have helped? Did a job help?
Absolutely. I mean, I was cycling in and out of prison all my life, and I thought prison was the way my life was going to be. It wasn't until my last incarceration that I went to school, I got my GED, I went to college, I graduated college, and I started to begin to believe that my life could be different. If I only believed in myself, and I started to believe in myself, and I came home and I applied for jobs and I was rejected, and I knew as long as I never gave up on myself that things in my life could be different. And I was hired as a counselor at Fortune Society in 1991. And today I'm able to give back. I'm able to say to people, incarceration doesn't have to be your life choice. You have other options. There are people out here who are willing to support you to help you build back your life.
What about employers? I mean, it might be a hard sell.
You know, Fortune Society runs a transitional work program. We have great results. And part of what we do is we say, hey, put your stereotypes to the side and work with our people. Let them show you who they are in terms of how they show up. And you get to see their good employees, you will make the investment. And so what we've seen and what this program will do is give an opportunity for employers, low risk to the employer, because only thing they're offering is an opportunity for them to work at their business. The financial piece of it will be paid for by the city. And what we hope and what we've seen at Fortune is that after the exposure, they end up hiring the individual.
Well, and employers, I'm sure, are being told as well that they're not just going to have an ex-con walk into their place of business. They're going to have inmates who will have peer navigators, right? Former inmates,
yes,
who have also done this successfully, so that there will be people guiding them.
Absolutely. What the mayor's proposing is to take a model that's been tested and to do it on a large scale.
What about Bernard Kerik's criticism? He has a unique point of view. He has it from both sides of this issue. He's, you know, the former New York City Police Commissioner and also the New York City Correction Department Commissioner. He also served time. We remember he served a prison term for tax fraud. So he's been in prison. And he says, look, this money should go to existing behind bars programs. Give high school educations and vocational training inside the prisons.
So here's the thing that really excites us about this mayor. That is actually happening. The mayor has, if you look at what Mayor de Blasio has invested, it's a significant investment. This is but one program. He has invested in hard skills training for people on Rikers Island. Now he's investing in transitional employment, the second phase of how you help people come home to be successful for themselves, for their families, and for the communities.
That's Stanley Richards, Executive Vice President of the nonprofit Fortune Society. Their funding comes from both the private sector and the government. He's also acting Vice Chair of the New York City Board of Correction, which oversees the city jails, which he once inhabited. He was incarcerated for robbery at Rikers and is now part of this new initiative. The city will be paying for employers to hire former inmates. Stanley, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear from a critic. Elias Husamuddin is president of the Correction Officers Benevolent Association, which represents 9,500 active workers at jails in New York City. Elias, 8-week jobs to ex-cons after they serve time paid for by taxpayers. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, anything that's going to improve the quality of life in New York City, I'm a fan of. The problem that I have is, why is the mayor not proactive? The program they're discussing affects approximately about 1,300 inmates. And these people, some of them are doing 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And the problem is, why not offer them this job training program before they go to jail? Most of them are unemployed. They don't have any type of certificates or degrees or diplomas. And to me, this is like saying, we know you're out there and you may be trying to do the right thing, but we prefer that you get in trouble, that you get arrested, and that you get sentenced before we offer you the type of assistance that we, as the mayor, should be offering.
Well, hold on there a second, because Stanley Richards, again with the Fortune Society, he says, you know, people can walk into Workforce One centers in New York City, get job training help. So you can get some help before you end up in jail.
Robin, I hear that. Mm-hmm. We have people, listen, there's no knock to the Fortune Society. They do a lot of work. But at the end of the day, I think they're being disingenuous because there are a lot of inmates in our system who, before they got involved and got trapped in the system, were out there trying to get assistance. You think that someone who actually have this available to them gonna say, you know what, I don't want that. Let me get locked up and then let me go and get what it was that I was trying to get before I got locked up. At the end of the day, if that was the case, we wouldn't have as many of these people.
You join the voices then who are calling for a slightly different reason. They're calling for people to have this $10 million jobs program who haven't gone to jail. You know, they're saying, why reward somebody who's been in jail? You're coming at it from a slightly different perspective. But you've also been quoted saying the mayor has apparently given up on keeping the jails safe for both inmates and correction officers who you represent. You cite the violence at Rikers Island. Now, the corrections department points to stats that show, you know, serious injuries have gone down. But you're right. There are huge questions about the safety of Rikers Island. That's part of the mayor's plan to ultimately shut it down. And part of that is not to have this huge population to keep people from coming back.
There is a safety issue in the jail system. And the reality is that even with talking about shutting down Rikers and shutting down the jails, I have one jail on Rikers Island that sits on 40 acres of land and holds 3,300 inmates. You would have to open three separate individual jails in the boroughs to cover that one jail on Rikers Island. So that dream and thing of closing and shutting down Rikers and keeping the inmate population down below 5,000, I don't know. That's like some type of Jedi mind trick. I don't even know who came up with that. Let's just say allow the governor. The governor of New York is responsible for prisons. He's responsible for rehabilitation and offering programs and ensuring that these people, when they come back into the community, that they're better prepared than they were when they left.
But, just the notion of somebody promised a job, they could be prepared for it in jail, but promised a job for 8 weeks. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Greystone Bakeries. which is slightly upstate. They only hire people who've been in jail, give them housing. Doesn't that cut down recidivism?
Well, if you listen to certain people, it cuts down recidivism. And I'm not going to say that there are not those inmates who are positively affected by these type of programs, which is why I'm saying, listen, I live in New York. So it is within our interests to have these people, whether they're coming out of jails or whether they're coming out of prisons, to be a more productive citizen. So that's not something that we're fighting, but we're saying that we have a mayor who's putting more emphasis on these type of programs than he is on keeping the jails themselves safe. Our question is, what are you doing to keep them safe? Because they're not even going to be able to be involved in these programs because they're going to end up in the hospital or they're going to end up with scars across their face and their heads and their arms because the jails are not safe. And that's our position.
That's Elias Husamuddin, president of COBA, the union representing 9,500 active workers at jail facilities in New York. Elias, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.